Today on VFN TV, we have John Newland. We're continuing the interview with John Newland. These amazing life stories, life-changing stories. Yes, he's a businessman. He's a believer. But listen, his life has been majorly impactful. As a matter of fact, check it out.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Talk to me a little bit. We're going to go right backwards. And here you are as a young boy, and you have this job, and you're like the root picker. Let's talk about, because today people can't even imagine a job like that at that age under those conditions. But this is your reality. Talk to us about that.
Well, this was another summer. Mm-hmm. And so my dad would let me play a little bit of ball, and then I'd have to work the whole summer.
How old are you?
This time, a root picker, I'm not sure. I have to refer back to the story. I think I was about 16.
Okay.
And I can't believe my dad put me in this job. I wouldn't put my son in this job. I wish I could have talked to him more. It's like, why? But right. I think he was trying to make a man.
Right.
At this job, one reason I bring it up, it's just so unique.
Very.
It's extremely loud. It's based right underneath a rock crusher. It was called the hammer mill.
Okay.
And these big steel hammers would spin around, and the rock would come in, and it would hit against the rock, and it would crush it.
Right.
And you say, well, how loud was it, John?
Right.
What I did, I took a pipe where my station was, and I hit another pipe right in front of me. I could not hear the collision.
Wow.
There was zero ear protection.
Wow.
All right, I sat on a grated piece of steel. I mean, I stood on it, and then I had a 55-gallon drum that was cut off, and it had a steel rim around it, right? And so now I sit down on it.
That was your seat?
Yeah.
And from this dangerous conveyor?
I was supposed to be there 10 hours. Uh-huh. After 10 seconds, my butt hurt. It hurt so bad. All right, so that was just the beginning. It was like being in a torture chamber.
Yeah.
All right, so now, as I'm sitting there, I have to lean forward and mm-hmm. pick roots off a conveyor belt that's 4 feet wide. It would come up out of the belly of the out of the crusher, mm-hmm. and you have to grab quickly because then they'd be gone.
So it's passing on a conveyor
belt? It's passing on a conveyor, going up a conveyor.
And there's like rocks and roots.
And rocks and roots, because it's being dug underwater.
Okay.
So some of the roots would smell just like vomit. It would smell so bad. And you grab a root, and sometimes it would almost drag you back on there because it was big
gosh.
And it was wet.
Whoa.
And so and it was spinning by. And so then you'd have water dripping on you constantly. And I call it the Chinese water torture. I hope that's not unpolitically correct to call it that. But that's a torture to let dripping water on the back of your neck.
I had a helmet. Being waterboarded at 15?
No, the waterboard is a little different.
Is it?
But
it,
this is on the back of the neck and on my shoulders. And then these rocks would come flying out of there from nowhere, and they'd hit me and bruise you. And you had a helmet on your head, and you hear ding hit your head.
Whoa.
So this was 10 hours a day doing this.
God.
And when you stop, because sometimes the belt would stop because something would break down.
Right.
Everybody, it was all hands on deck. You're supposed to go immediately to figure out how to help, okay?
Right.
So I was so tired as a young man, I fell asleep, but I put my hand on the belt, okay? What was amazing, if I didn't put my hand on the belt raced backwards in your mind. I don't know what phenomenon that is. It raced backwards.
It felt like it was going backwards in your mind.
In your eyes, you saw it going backwards.
That's dangerous.
Well, no, not so much dangerous. Oh. It just looked like it was.
Okay,
it was an illusion that works in your mind.
Okay.
So I put my hand out there and make sure it was stopped.
Okay.
And then I fell asleep. So I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I felt this big rock thump me right in the chest.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of woke up and I thought, in the chest? They never came that direction before. I look up. And there's my dad, and we call him my old man, standing there with his hands on his hips. He had threw that rock and hit me on the chest.
Oh, wow.
I know. And so he signaled me to come. Do you know, he never, in the rest of my life, mentioned that moment.
Oh, wow.
That was the lesson, the rock to the chest.
Wow, yeah, that kind of gets the point, right? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but I did that all summer long. But anyway, that was called Root Picker on number 63 Shaker.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That was amazing. I mean, that age. Because you see somebody today and you don't think about their history.
Right.
And you kind of had this overlapping history. I mean, there was a big gap between where society was like that and then it wasn't, but you're actually overlapped. You had some John Wayne stuff going on and you had some other things going on and just so many interesting things, even some Huckleberry Finn moments. I mean, it just seemed wild, some of the things you had going on in your life. But that was amazing, but you learned a big work ethic, I guess, with your dad, right?
Yes, definitely, no doubt.
And so he wasn't a man of a lot of words, but he said a lot of things with his life, it seemed.
Right.
I know you talk about how kind he was.
Yeah, he was kind to me.
Right.
But I did have a measure of fear. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going to talk about him. I call it the story, My Dad Bigger Than Life.
Right, yeah.
I think I got a little fixation there, mm-hmm, about my dad. Some people, you know, they have this fixation, and I think it affected me. Mm-hmm. Because he was so strong and choleric, I think I shrunk back a little bit.
Choleric means a leader.
Yeah,
type.
Leader, doer.
Yeah, doer.
Leader. And
mm-hmm,
he's the only man I've known where men feared him.
Right.
He didn't believe in fraternizing. Fraternize is when you make your employees your friends and they become comfortable with you.
Right.
And he felt like familiarity bred contempt.
Right.
He never showed his weakness in one tiny bit. He would to us at home a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a little bit afraid of him. He was a little bit hasty, and he was a little bit too hard on animals. I won't tell my sons and my heritage, no, it's wrong to be hard on animals. It's wrong to be hard on anybody.
Right.
I had to learn as a Christian, husbands, do not be harsh to your wife.
Right.
No, it's wrong, okay?
Right.
So I'm not a harsh man anymore. I put scriptures in my mind. One of them is, be gentle, mm-hmm, to all, because the Lord is at hand, okay? His fruit is gentleness.
Right.
Kindness is his fruit, okay?
Right. And the wrath of man doesn't work doesn't any righteousness
work,
at all.
It right? doesn't. Yeah. But my dad, he was a little bit, I saw him be a little hasty. I remember one time when a bull was coming at him and he took his whip, mm-hmm, and he cracked it. Instead of dodging or running from the bull, he stepped right forward it. And he cracked it again. He said, I can't quite say the words he said.
Right.
Come up out of here.
Right.
You know, it spoke to him. And the bull turned, okay?
Right.
I saw him do it to a bad dog one time. I saw one time a horse was in a stall.
Uh-huh.
And the horse scared me because he kept raring up and kicking. He was kind of a young horse.
Right.
Well, my dad, he just jumped right in the stall with him.
With the horse.
Grabbed him by his halter, snatched him down. And he said, this is his way. Come up out of there, you.
Right.
And I can't say what it was. You son of a horse.
Right.
And
right.
And so we all stood at attention at that moment. The horse quit. I stood at attention. He did too.
Right.
So I had a high respect for him. And I think it helped me toward God.
Right.
Because I knew he would always protect me.
Right.
God forbid that anybody threw a F-bomb when my mom was around.
Right.
Oh, I was afraid of that happening because that man would have to apologize, see?
Right.
So I have some of that in me to be a little bit bold, mm-hmm, but other parts I've had to repent. And
he never worked out, but he was a very strong man.
Yeah, okay,
right?
Yeah, that leads into a story. How strong was he?
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. Different ones of us work out different ways, but he would do isometrics. He would come in and come out.
Right.
Come in against resistance in, resistance out.
Right.
And I could grab his biceps, and they were like a softball in there.
Wow, okay.
But one time, we had these cattle leases. We didn't own the particular land, but we leased it. Mm-hmm. And they brought in an oil rig to drill for oil.
Right.
And it was amazing to watch from the side or whatever. It was right close to it, you know, up to it. And so they left a 55-gallon drum of oil when they left. And after 6 months, it was just sitting there.
Right.
We thought, we don't know who to contact. It's full to the top. I guess we'll go ahead and just confiscate it.
Right.
And we didn't mention it to the landowner, and he didn't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. So now, how are you going to get a full 55-gallon drum into the back of a pickup truck?
How much does it weigh?
Well, water weighs, I think, 11 pounds? 55, oil is just a little bit lighter. So around 400 pounds, I think.
Whoa.
So I was just a boy.
Right.
I mean, I was a young man.
Mm-hmm.
And our pickup trucks are always jacked up because we had to go through water and we needed big tires, sometimes just sand.
Right.
And so it was a little higher than your average tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked that up, my dad and I didn't even feel any weight. He just picked it up and set it in the back of the truck.
He was like 6 foot, something like that?
Yeah, 6 foot and weighed 230.
And he was able to pick up the 55-gallon
55-gallon drum and just set it in the back of the truck. And I didn't feel like I had anything.
That's why you know how to say yes, sir.
Well, yeah, definitely. But he was, I call him my dad bigger than life.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. We're going to be right back and continue this amazing interview with John Newland.
We'll be right back.
Throughout the 19th century and early 20th century, newspapers regularly printed sermons, even citing the Bible in political commentary.
Lincoln Mullen, a historian at Virginia's George Mason University, has developed America's Public Bible, biblical quotations in U.S. newspapers, using a computer program that finds and tracks biblical quotations in pages of old newspapers.
In 1876, the verse in 1 Samuel 3:4 that says, "The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am,' kept turning up in newspapers. Mullen discovered that Samuel Tilden was running for president that year and using 'The Lord called Samuel' as part of his campaign slogan."
Mullen has uncovered 866,000 biblical quotations in nearly 11 million newspaper pages in the Library of Congress's Chronicling America collection alone.
Engage with the Bible in new ways.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Hey, I want to invite you to VFN Dream Center Church. Listen, we love family. We're focused around reaching the world. But most of all, we just want to be able to honor God and connect with people who want to honor God. Are you looking for a family? Are you looking for a church family? You're looking to be a part of somebody who understands the Great Commission is for us to reach the world. Well, we're doing it, and maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. As a matter of fact, you can join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m., actually 10:15 a.m., or you can join us online at VineFellowshipNetwork.org. Listen, we're reaching the world together with the VFN Dream Center Church. We'd love to have you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Wow. Because other men looked at him. I'll never forget one story, a story about Gator Man. Mm-hmm. Gator Man impressed me. In fact, I decided even back in those days, I wouldn't have the same leadership style as my dad. You can have whatever leadership style the Lord shows you to have, okay? Mm-hmm. His was harsh, do it now. Okay,
right.
It was kind of an authoritative, mine is a little different. Mm-hmm. He didn't get to know these guys that I knew. I worked in the shop with him. I loved Mason the welder. I liked him, okay?
Right.
I love this guy, Gator Man. Now, Gator Man was a little bit country, and I like to say that if you ever saw the movie where Gator McCluskey was Burt Reynolds, okay, this was the real deal. This was the real Gator Man.
Oh, wow, okay.
He was good-looking. He was a little bit rough. They claim that when he fought, he cut. That means with a blade, he'd cut you. That's a dangerous man. Okay, he's not just box with it. He's going to cut you.
Right.
So everybody respected him, but they liked him. Right. He had a little cool to him. He was the best mechanic. He was a diesel mechanic. He drove a souped-up truck that was that he had and had his tools. Well, Gator Man was given to drink a little bit. And so he came in one day, and he missed the day, which he didn't miss. And then he'd been drinking, and something went wrong with this diesel engine, and it blew a rod. And so a fellow named Bud was my dad's superintendent. And so Bud said, "Gator Man, you made a mistake on this engine. You've been drinking." And so they butted heads right then.
Right.
And Bud was big. He was from Michigan. He was a big guy. He's about 6'4", had a big old thick neck, and he was a diesel mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
He worked on Manitowoc drag lines.
Okay.
So my dad thought he'd be the perfect superintendent, big tough guy.
Right.
So Gator Man wasn't taking anything off of Bud. He walked up to him like, okay, it was a throwdown.
Right.
And Bud was probably wise. Why would you go to prison for having a throwdown with a man?
Right.
And so he said, "Bud, I want you to go get your check." And he said something to him like, "We're going at it right now."
Right.
So Bud walked off, got in his truck, and boy, just peeled a wheel of dust.
Right.
He went up to the office where my dad was.
Right.
And he said, this is what happened, Mr. Newland. Everybody called him Mr. Newland. The governor called him Mr. Newland. The mayor called him Mr. Newland. The preacher called him Mr. Newland. It was a really strange day when I heard somebody call him John.
Right.
So Bud said, Mr. Newland, this happened with Gatorman. He said, what? He said, Bud, I want you to wait right over here on that couch.
Right.
He took his O's 98. Uh-huh. He always wore a hat.
Right.
Here he comes, and everybody was knowing something was going to happen because we knew what was going to happen.
Right, right.
Okay, here comes a cloud of dust. He gets out. He goes, Gator Man? He said, yes, sir, Mr. Newland. He said, did Bud tell you to get your check? He said, yes, sir, he did. He said, I'm telling you right now, get your check. This Gator Man came kind of running at him. My dad came running to him, and at the same time, he picked up a big, long, oversized crescent wrench.
Oh.
And we could all tell with the quickness in his feet and the depth that he had of picking it up that he was all ready to hit Gator Man right in the side of the head. Gator Man knew it, too.
Right.
He stopped right then. Right. He said, I like you, Mr. Newland, and I like working here. He said, get your check, Gator Man, now. Man, Gator Man grabbed some tools. He got in that truck, and there he sped off.
Wow.
And I never saw him again. Then my dad went up to the office. He said, Bud, if you can't handle that, you need to get your check. And he did right
then.
Wow. I don't mean to disparage Bud because in my mind, he was a big and he was a good man.
Right, right.
But he couldn't work for my dad if he couldn't face Gator Man.
The Gator Man was had a knife. He'd use it. So,
yeah,
I mean,
in a heartbeat.
Wow.
In a heartbeat.
Wow. Yeah, there's some people out there right now that are intimidated by the Gator Mans at their workplace. And, you know, what would you give the advice to somebody, you know, to help the hot-tempered?
Okay, here's what I'd say.
Okay.
They may not be able to do it because you haven't cultivated this.
Right.
Okay, I would say consult the Lord.
Yeah.
For just a moment. If you got to turn away, you got to say, you say in your heart, what, Lord, what should I do?
Right.
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 I don't say get into a fight. I've been delivered that. I pray.
Right.
Yeah, I believe we're made to be a peacemaker now.
Right.
And God will give you a word that'll bring peace if you can.
Don't you think, too, that, you know, don't wait to a crisis before you pray for your employees?
Right.
Because, you know, God will soften their heart.
Right.
You'll build that relationship over time.
Right.
And maybe, like us, you know, God will set them free from those things, you know. But, too, I think what your book does, too, you know, also remember my days in law enforcement and military, is sometimes that guy's not even recognized.
Right.
But he's just as important as anybody else.
Right. Right.
How do we reach that man? Because sometimes society shuns you and is like, you're a man like everybody else. God loves you just the same.
Right.
You know, my issues are different than your issues, but we all have issues and God can deliver us from those. What would you say to that man? He is, you know, the gator dude, or he is Bud, or maybe he's your dad and he's running a company.
Well, it's hard to say. Each situation is going to be different. I say try to be ahead of time by praying.
Mm-hmm.
Each man's got to figure his way. I try to pray every single day.
Right.
I try to pray the Lord's Prayer without making it, I make it different every day.
Mm-hmm.
So when I come to the part of thy will be done, I ask him for his will to be done with my employees and on my relationship,
right,
and that his authority and his kingdom would come.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I do now, but you never know, you're going to get caught off with different things that happen at work.
Right.
So I would say, all that you can, try to be peaceable with all men.
Right. Listen, we're going to be right back from this break, but we're going to continue, we get back from the break, for this interview with John Newland.
We'll be right back.
Do you believe in the cross of Christ?
I'm a pastor.
If you believe, then the question is, what are you going to do about it?
Don't miss your chance to get this free book, I Will Fight, 10 Strategies for Your Success, where I share a prophetic encounter God gave me about a coming wealth transfer. And this whole genesis of this book and these strategies is to position you for a coming wealth transfer. It's 10 strategies for success, dealing with your belief, your actions, commitments, giving you plans, giving you strategies. I mean, so many things I can't even talk about. But it's yours for free. Go to VFNKB.com and get your free copy now.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with Him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I would say to try to overcome evil with good. Okay. I have a story in my book.
Talk about that story. Oh yeah, it's very important because you're at that time in your life, you're ready to take somebody out.
Right, I was.
They pushed you to the limit.
Right, I was.
Okay, talk about that.
Well, I was just a new Christian, and I was running heavy equipment at a job up in Tennessee.
Big heavy equipment.
Yeah, I was running scrapers, and I also ran dozers and graders. I ended up loving a grader.
What's a scraper?
A scraper is a big, giant machine with four big giant tires. In the middle of the belly of it, it has a blade on the bottom, and it gets pushed by a bulldozer. Some of them now are able to drive themselves, but these all got pushed by a dozer. And then you'd pick up a whole load of dirt or clay, and then you'd haul it and dump it.
Right.
With that sharp blade, you could actually smooth out things.
Right.
So I was a scraper operator, and loved every minute of it. I'm a little strange. I've loved every job I have. Being root picker on 63 Shaker. So I love running a scraper. But I was given to drink then at that time.
Right.
We would actually measure how far our job was. This sounds so strange to the common person.
Right.
We didn't measure it by miles.
Right.
Normally, you'd say, well, we got to go 50 miles to a job. Right. We would measure.
Because you did roads are like all over the place.
Yeah,
so
we'd go build roads. Yeah. We'd meet in the morning around a fire. I'm going to come back to that.
Right.
But we'd measure how far the job was by how many beers it would take to get home.
Oh,
we'd say, that was two beers.
That's oh,
funny.
Wow. Okay.
That's two beers. And right. we never thought anything different about it, okay?
Right.
That was two beers.
Right.
Oh, that job, oh, that'd be about a three-beer job.
Right.
So,
okay.
You know, God forbid, we were, you know, drinking and driving. I wasn't driving.
Right. We don't recommend that.
No, not at all. No, not at all. Yeah. I repent of that.
Right.
All right, so I was in good with the guys.
Right.
I was one of their drinking buddies.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, but there was a guy that had quit drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when a man's quit drinking, he's miserable. His wife wanted him to go to church. He was miserable.
Right.
He was about 6'5", narrow at the waist, had huge shoulders, a big giant head with a handlebar mustache.
Oh, wow.
And his name was Roy. And he was mean. And now I'd quit drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so Roy took it as his thing in life to persecute me.
Mm.
I never had anybody persecute me.
Right.
But now I was trying to witness. I said I was a Christian, okay? I was just a young guy.
Right.
And so he called me out in front of the whole crew. He said, Newland, you ain't no D Christian.
Right.
I know it. We've drunk together. What makes you think you're a Christian? And so now my heart's beating. I didn't know what to say. I'm called out in front of everybody.
The old man's trying to come up.
But at that point,
okay.
I called on the Lord.
Oh, awesome.
And under my breath, I said, Lord, Lord, what do I say?
Right.
That's what you do.
Okay.
You inquire of the Lord.
Right.
Every time David inquired of the Lord, he won the battle. When he didn't inquire of the Lord, he lost the battle, okay?
Yes, yes.
I know that's Old Testament. It's the same God. It's there for an example to show you how to live your life. You can hear the Lord, especially if you'll train yourself to hear the Lord. The best way to hear it is when you're in His presence, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Greg will show you about abiding.
Yeah.
And in my book, there's a way on how I feel you can hear the Lord. It starts with thanksgiving, praise, and then worship, and then you inquire because you're in His presence,
very
okay?
Awesome.
But coming back to this, I only had a split second.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the Lord by His Spirit said a scripture, but it wasn't exactly verbatim,
right.
Okay? But the scripture said, I said, Roy, I guess my love or His love has covered all that. And it comes from a scripture that says, love covers a multitude of sins. And Roy literally could not speak. He began to stutter. I never heard him stutter before. He was going, abba. He couldn't say it.
Wow.
So we went our way, okay?
Right.
So that was that time with Roy. But then we got on the job.
Mm-hmm.
His machine had to push my machine.
Okay.
And so Roy was the best dozer operator that I've ever heard tell of. My dad was a great dozer operator.
Mm-hmm.
He showed me he could push a lot of dirt.
Right.
He was in the Seabees. He learned to push a dozer with a dozer. But with Roy, he could dress He could finally finish work.
Wow.
So he was so good, when he'd come to pick up our machine with his big blade, he'd come up and then he'd pick us up a little bit with his blade as it lifted, and he'd run, and all of a sudden we'd be moving and you didn't even know it. Now you started using your pen
right.
to cut a careful grade, okay?
Right.
But Roy decided he would hit me in third gear, about 15 miles an hour. Bam!
With his machine hitting his your machine.
His machine hit my machine, and it would give me a true, honest to God, whiplash. And it made me so mad. I turned around, and Roy was shooting me a bird. Some
right.
of y'all know what that means.
Right, yeah.
It means something bad.
He was provoking you big time.
Oh, a man shooting a Newland? See, I'm my father's son, okay?
right.
My old man said he never took any
manure off anybody.
Off of anybody. He right. said it seriously. He never once did, okay?
Right.
So that's kind of ingrained in me the same way.
Right.
And so I got my load, and I saw I had a wrench.
Uh-huh.
And I said to myself, I'm going to kill him.
Right.
And I was as serious as I could be.
Right.
I said, I'll take that wrench, and I'll kind of keep it behind me. I'll jump off on his tracks, and before he knows what's happened, I'm going to hit him right in the temple. But then, about halfway with my load, I remembered the Lord.
Mm.
And he brought conviction, and I began to weep, and I said, oh, God, I can't kill a man.
Right.
I can't do that. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? So at that time, I didn't even look at him. I got up from my load again,
right.
and I got ready. Bam, he hit me again. He hit me for about 30 times.
Ooh.
And so I went home, and I began to beat the floor, and I opened my Bible because I heard somebody said, you could look in the Bible for an answer.
Right.
I said, oh, God, I need an answer.
Right.
You could call it Russian roulette. It wasn't. I was searching for him.
Right.
I looked, and I saw a scripture just jumped off the page. It said, overcome evil with good. That's the name of the story.
Yeah, wow.
Overcome evil with good. And then it said under there, if your enemy is thirsty, give him to drink. If he's hungry, give him to eat. And the Lord will pour coals of fire on his head. I thought, man, that sounds good. But then I found out later that
right.
means coals of conviction. Because what you're doing is so good. Once again, nobody can gainsay love.
Right.
We are to walk in love, see?
Yeah.
I'm to love Roy.
Yeah.
Okay, not kill him. I'm to
right.
love Roy. I'm a new
right.
man in Christ.
Right.
So I said, baby, I said, you got to bake me something. Your
Called
best,
Debbie.
Yeah, right. Debbie. Yeah. I said, make your best chocolate chip cookies. Oh, and I say to my grandchildren or
right.
ones in the future,
right.
get them. In fact, she just my granddaughter just had a baby,
okay.
and afterwards she made him those cookies.
Oh, wow.
She just made those cookies. Okay.
Wow.
So if you can get a chance, get her cookies. They're
hey,
big.
Debbie, I would like some cookies.
Yeah, they're big and they're so good. So I put them in a sack.
Uh-huh.
There I come around to Roy's the first load. I park next to him. I jump off on his tractor. I said, I got something for you, Roy. And I thought he was going to throw him.
Yeah.
But he looked in there and he took a smell and he set him down. Okay. Guess what?
What?
He didn't hit me hard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the change. He never hit me hard again with his machine again.
Listen, this is not over. Make sure you join us on our next program. We're going to continue to hear these amazing stories from this ordinary man, John Newland.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.